It was an emotional day of testimony in the Boston Marathon bombing trial yesterday as the relatives of convicted bomber Jahar Tsarnaev took the stand. And for the first time in the trial, the defendant, too, appeared to show emotion, however briefly. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
In the 26th day of testimony and on the 139th witness, Jahar Tsarnaev wept. He dabbed his eyes with a tissue while his 64-year-old aunt, looking ancient and sobbing uncontrollably on the witness stand, was led away. He was 8 years old the last time she had seen him. It was 2002, and his family was leaving for America in what might be a final parting from their relatives in Dagestan. In a way, it was, because murder and maiming now separate this 21-year-old from the boy he had once been. Seeing him from the stand for the first time, Padamat Sulaymanova had barely said a word before she started crying. Unable to regain her composure, her tears turned to short gasps for air. She was escorted from the stand and was never called back. But she, her sister, and her sister's three grown daughters told in words and emotion a tale fit for a 19th-century Russian novel. They traced the sweep of travels by Tsarnaev's mother and father and the family that followed, from a village in the mountains of Dagestan to Siberia, then to Central Asia, back to Chechnya, and then the Caspian Sea. They lived out of suitcases. They were like gypsies, testified Jahar's cousin, Razat Sulaymanova. Razat, her two sisters and their mother, recounted the meeting and the marriage of Jahar's mother, Zubedat, from their side with the Chechen man Anzor Tsarnaev, who became Jahar's father. He was crazy, crazy in love. He worshipped her, testified Razat. He wouldn't go anywhere without her. He didn't want her to go anywhere without him. A jealous husband, a peripatetic life, a car mechanic wherever he went, these were strands of a storyline of a dysfunctional family the defense wants to present to the jurors. Zubedat's sister, who raised her, remembered Zubedat's lonely years growing up without a mother and a string of different homes with her uncles. Yet Zubedat stood out as beautiful, social, ambitious, and she was dressed in bright, stylish clothing. She, her husband, two daughters and their eldest child, a son named Tamerlan, and their youngest, Jahar, described as the exceptional child who made everyone smile. They all went off to America, where they would all fail disastrously. The defense focused on two events that traumatized the relatives back in Dagestan: the visit home of Zubedat in 2010, and then of Tamerlan in 2012. The Sulaymanovas described the shock created by the sight of Zubedat covered from head to toe in black and wearing a hijab. I'm a little scared of people who are covered, said the older niece Naida, because many become extremist Islamists wearing all black. Naida's mother and Zubedat's sister, Shari, testified, "We were all in pain. We were scared. We had never had anybody in the family like that. We cried." Going to America had turned out far differently for the Tsarnaevs than the relatives in Dagestan had expected. The woman who once wore the brightest clothing, accented by gold and diamonds, and who was never religious, now brought black. 2 years later, Tamerlan, the older son of Zubedat, would also make the pilgrimage to Dagestan, only to be looking for men in the forest so he could wage jihad. While he was there, Tamerlan made a recording of himself while conversing with others. That recording was played in court for his aunt and cousins. "I have this rage of anger inside me," they heard Tamerlan say. "When we were told he was an adherent of radical Islam, I was afraid," said his cousin Naida. "I don't understand this." She counseled her 20-year-old son to restrict himself to praying and not to follow the American the relatives in Dagestan considered dangerous and crazy. "They were such good children," Aunt Cherie said of the future bombers Tamerlan and Jahar. "They wouldn't hurt a fly." Across the sweep of three continents in 11 years, something had changed completely, something the aunts and the cousins mourned. When Sharif finished her testimony and Tsarnaev was being escorted out a side door, he turned and blew a kiss to his aunt. Then he waved. It was the second display of emotion, and on the same day, even if it was only for his family, after seeming unaffected by the plight of his victims. Shahar Tsarnaev's aunts and cousins now fly home, to a place where the defense contends many answers can be found. In that long story, it hopes one or two jurors might be moved to understanding and compassion for someone who went so wrong in America. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.